Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Four free record on my count. Seven, six, five, four, three, two, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. We're glad you're with us. Bob Getty and Kelly Center. We're broadcasting, from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Glad you're with us. Luke Johnson will be joining us a little later in the program. Also later in the show, we're going to update standings of the Sun Belt Football Conference. And, talk about who might be a surprise and who is not. But first, serious matter, we want to bring Adam Witten back on the show. He's been with us before. He's the play-by-play voice of Appalachian State. And Adam, as I told you off the air, I wish we were talking about football or baseball, but I know that your region of the country right now has the eyes of the nation on it, and we all are praying for the good folks up in your part of America that are suffering so badly. Can you give us an update on App State, what happened on your campus with this hurricane, how it's affected school and even your football team?
Yeah, guys, first of all, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show, and I appreciate everybody's support from all different reaches of the region across the Sun Belt Conference. That has been, the heartwarming thing in an otherwise heartbreaking series of events. So, leading up to last Saturday, the 30th, as App State was, or the 28th, I guess I should say, as App State was getting ready to play Liberty, Hurricane Helene made its way up through the southeast. But prior to that, there were a couple of days of heavy rains even before the storm arrived, to where, water levels were cresting to the points where they shouldn't have been. And so that is really the precursor to what made everything so devastating when the storm actually arrived, is that you had already had severe saturation, uncommon levels of water in different bodies across the area. And then once the storm came, it didn't take a whole lot for the floods to start, and it just never stopped for several hours. And that's when the disaster really started taking shape. And so, I can tell you that the town of Boone, Watauga County, the App State campus, the more populous areas of the high country, they're doing okay. I don't want to say they're doing well, but they're doing okay. But it's really the very rural parts of our communities that are suffering the most. You're talking about areas of our region where, even on a good day, even when the weather's fine, the roads can be somewhat treacherous to get from different locations. And then you add the fact that these roads are just getting completely washed away. It's just leaving thousands and thousands of people stranded, all the way from Boone to Asheville, over to Tennessee, to the upstate of South Carolina. Thousands of people still without power. It could still be weeks in some places before they get power or clean water. And the weather is starting to get cold now. And so, yeah, it's awful, really, to kind of explain it. But we just want people to continue to be aware of what's going on so that they know that it's a long road and the help is going to be needed for several months.
You know what I think is so shocking about it? And, of course, we live about 50 miles from the Gulf Coast here, so we're kind of used to hurricanes, but what you always do if the storm's going to be really bad, you go inland to get away from the hurricane. And that gum, in this case, it seems like the folks living inland from the Gulf Coast took it the worst, Adam.
They really did. And, it's asking people in the mountains of North Carolina to be prepared for a hurricane is like asking people in the state of Florida to prepare for a blizzard. You just don't think that that's ever going to be a real thing. And so there's no precedent to this. unfortunately, there's so many hurricanes, and we're getting ready to deal with one right now with Milton down in Florida. There's such an abundance of those types of events in, along the Gulf, that you know how to prepare for that, and you know that you need to evacuate in certain situations. It's just not the case up in these areas, and so you just had a lot of people that were still in their homes and praying for the best, and unfortunately, it's resulted in many lives being lost. But it's just something that you have no experience with, and there's no precedent for it, and so that's what really is kind of the crazy thing about all of it is you know, the area of a country that can be affected so deeply by a hurricane, it's unheard of.
Now, Adam, obviously Helene wreaked on the topography of Boone, North Carolina, and the surrounding areas. How has it affected the student schedule? I understand the students are still out of school from the storm. When will they resume? And what sort of complications has it put on a football team that already was going through kind of a tumultuous season?
Yeah, so they are still out of class. Classes have been canceled. They have fall break coming up after this week, and so they went ahead and made the decision last week to cancel all classes through fall break. So students are all scattered and away from the area if they're able to. And so that's where things stand right now. The decision will come at some point this week on whether they will resume classes or not next week. The challenge in that is, while you could feasibly hold classes on campus in these buildings, you don't know what the living situation is like for students coming back. For the most part, the dorms are okay. Some of the lower levels of these dorms had some damage that needed to be repaired. But you've got apartment complexes, and students rent houses around the area, and you just don't know if you're coming back to a situation where you can still live in here and be able to get to class. And that also affects the faculty, the staff, as well. And so that's really the thing that you're trying to navigate in terms of whether it's safe and realistic to be able to get back to in-person classes once fall break is over. Now, as far as the football team and the other student athletes, they're still here in the area because they're still practicing. They're still competing. They may not be competing in Boone, but they're still competing. The soccer team has been playing their matches in Charlotte. The football team is actually on the road. They were on the road last week. They'll be on the road this week and then a bye week. So we don't have another scheduled home game for almost 2 weeks. They're on a normal practice schedule. We practice in the afternoons for football. But in the mornings, they're not going to class. There's no studies or anything like that. So they're volunteering their time where they can. There's so many donation sites around the area that are getting inundated, in a good way, inundated with supplies. They need people to load and unload. They need people to distribute. They need people to sort. And without any students around here, the student athletes have really stepped up, and the coaches to lend some of their physically abled bodies to be able to help with that.
It's just really unbelievable. You know, years ago, Southern Miss went through a similar thing with Hurricane Katrina, where the football team got rather displaced, and in that instance, they had to go to Memphis. I think they lived in Memphis and shared facilities with the Memphis football program. It's got to put a strain on these kids, Adam, and I'm sure a lot of them have family members that are affected. So it's got to be difficult to focus on football if your family or someone that you love lost everything they own.
That's the tough part. And we were talking about it during their last game against Marshall is, while the team seemed focused and they seemed ready to play, you just never knew what was going on inside the minds and the hearts of all these players and coaches. You know, it's been exhausting. It's been mentally draining and emotionally draining. And so, you know, are people sleeping well? Is their mind clear and really focused on what they're doing? I think it is, but none of us really know for sure. And so while all the players are safe and accounted for, which is good, their families, their friends, they see the social media pictures and videos of the devastation. Even if you don't know anybody that was remotely affected by this, how can your heart not ache for what you see in an area that is now your home? You know, but we have people from the Asheville area. We have people from, you know, the rural parts of this area of the state. And so, yeah, I mean, thankfully we haven't heard any of our student athletes that have, their families have suffered. Everybody seems to be okay. But at the end of the day, I think everyone's been affected by this in some way, shape, or form. And I think they're just doing the best they can to keep going with whatever it is they're doing to get through it.
Well, Adam, one thing about it, it puts sports in perspective. And I know that I speak for everyone who follows Southern Miss and listens to this radio program that we're praying for all you guys up there. And we just hope for the best outcome possible. And we just want you to know that all Southern Miss Nation has App State and all of your kids and faculty and alumni in our prayers every night.
Guys, that means a lot. We really appreciate it. It has been heartwarming to see the support from across our conference, and sports brings people together like few things in life, and that's been something that we're all kind of one family, one, and bonded together through all of this.
Well, Adam, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us. Best of luck to you and everybody up there.
Yep, you got it, guys.
All right, Adam Whitten, everybody, play-by-play voice for App State. It's heartbreaking, man. You read some of the stories about people getting washed away in front of their families. It just puts it in perspective.
Yeah,
football just really doesn't matter.
And I was talking to him earlier. I said, now look, come basketball season, we're going to try to beat your brains out. And he said, we wouldn't have it any other way.
And that's the way it will be. Yeah, we'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. It's Bob and Kelly. Luke Johnson about to join us. That opening segment with Adam Whitten was sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. This segment sponsored by a lady that Luke knows very well, Miss Kathleen down at Campus Bookmart. Excuse me, campusbookmart.net. The only place to go get all of your Southern Miss swag. Luke, you just told me you heard the interview with Adam, and I know that you and Lauren were up there last year. It's just hard to believe that something, you know, a community that far inland could be so devastated by a hurricane, isn't it?
It's wild, man. I mean, when we were up there, for that was probably one of the most picturesque college football environments I'd ever been on. And where Boone is, you're just right off the Blue Ridge Parkway, and we were up there when the leaves were starting to turn, and just seeing pictures over the last week or so, seeing places in Boone where we had visited and been there.
Yeah.
My senior year was the Katrina year, and it's tough. I think we got the attention in 2005, but like Adam brought out, I mean, you've got soccer that's competing. Now you've got volleyball that's competing. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people forget the other sports and how they're affected. Thankfully, Charlotte, you already talk about the App State soccer team. Charlotte was like Memphis. Memphis opened up their facility to us, and we practiced for over a week in Memphis when we got ready for Bama. So it's hard. You get through that as a team. You just have to encourage one another. You'll get to a place where you have power, and you'll turn on the news and you'll see your home community or one of your friends' home communities that's flooded and where stuff used to be. And, man, that whole part up in Appalachia in the western part of North Carolina, it's nobody could have dreamed it would have been like this.
No.
But it's one of those things that football teams, they bond together and press on. But we pray for them. And there's even, right. I don't know if you guys have seen it, there's been a lot of people in South Mississippi churches and church associations have been sending relief this week up to North Carolina. Right. Really encouraging.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. Kevin Mullins is the manager, obviously, of Genesis of Hattiesburg, Matt Grubb's Hyundai. he has a private airplane, and he and his daughter spent their weekend flying supplies back and forth up there. So, yeah, you know, Americans come together, that's for sure, when we have to help one another. All right, well, we will keep those good folks in our prayers, obviously. Let's turn our attention to football. I've been waiting to hear from you. I wanted to get your breakdown. Another disappointing weekend. They were a lot better. Golden Eagles were a lot better protecting the football, but they gave up five sacks and total domination time. They were totally dominated in the amount of time that the Louisiana offense took out of the game. You just can't hardly win a game, Luke, when your opponent has the ball 45 minutes out of 60.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to be, you know, just overly positive for the sake of that. But I mean, when you think about defensively what they did 2 weeks ago, and they give up 23 points to an offense that was averaging so much, I think it was encouraging for the defense. They had the goal line, you know, the inside the 10 stand to start the football game. But when you look at time of possession and the amount of plays that the defense was in a deficit, I mean, 23 points, pretty good. Pretty good for the defense. And so I think it was probably their best performance of the year. But, I mean, offense, I mean, they're just inept. I mean, here's something for offensive line play. Louisiana did not have a sack at all as a defense going into this past game. They got five. Coming into this game, they had 13 tackles for loss. They got eight against the Golden Eagles, so now they have 21. And, I mean, you wonder why quarterbacks are hurt, and you wonder why you can't run the football, and, you know, why you're below the 120 line in total offense. It's just because they're not getting play up front. I mean, that is the reality of it. And, I mean, Kyron Heise, a really good tight end. Larry Simmons is a really good tight end. But you almost wonder through the first four games, I mean, people have been complaining about Rodemaker's field awareness. Well, I mean, he's trying to get the ball out because he's getting, you know, killed every other play. And what's frustrating is a lot of people were upbeat on this offensive line because, you know, this is the class of 2021, 2022. The guys that have been in the system for a little bit, you get a transfer from a Sun Belt rival. But they just haven't gelled, and they hadn't played well. And if that's what you're going to get out of this offense, you know, throughout week to week, it's going to continue to be a really long season.
And really the strength as they head now to Monroe, the strength of this Louisiana Monroe team, who has been by far, Luke, I think the talk of the league, by the way the Warhawks have played. But that defense has been razor sharp. And when you look at this matchup, a struggling Southern Miss offense going up against a – defense that's hitting on all cylinders, boy, the numbers just don't look too good coming into this Saturday. Your thoughts?
Yeah, what's wild about Monroe, they're averaging what, like 250 yards of offense a game. And but to your point, they're winning on defense. All four games that they've won, they have allowed less than 20 points. They've only given up 28 points in conference play. They give up 9 points to Troy. They gave up 19 to James Madison. Throw the Texas out. It's number one team in the nation. Of course, they got beat that game. But, I mean, 32-6 against UAB. But offensively, they are doing enough. And for Southern Miss fans, here's a name that you will – at least the last name. Their freshman running back is from Monticello. He went to Lawrence County, and his last name is Hardy. Ahmad Hardy. His uncles – are Wayne and Kendrick. Of course, Kendrick was a great running back. Wayne was a teammate of mine. He was my personal protector on the punt team and played linebacker and fullback for us. And this is the next Hardy from Lawrence County. He rushed for 82 yards and a touchdown against James Madison. He's over 400 yards for the year. And so I think that's where ULM has put their stock. I mean, they're going to play solid defense and score just enough to beat you, and that's what they've done. It's pretty remarkable what Vincent's done in his first year.
I want you to kind of be Dr. Phil now, Luke, and talk about the heads of our Southern Miss guys now, because they are young men, they are human. It's really tough to go out there, even though you love the game and all that, we get all that, but it's tough to go out there week after week after week and not be able to pick up a win. Take us through the mindset now of how that – changes from the beginning of the year, now 6 weeks in, and you just haven't seen a whole lot of success?
Yeah, I mean, I think defensively there was improvement. So maybe we have some, you know, there's some leaders on that side of the ball that are pushing through and telling, you know, the guys what they need to do. But, you know, on offense, when you haven't played what you're capable of, and, you know, somebody just go down to a position. Somebody on that offensive line has to stand up in that position room and just say, hey, enough of this. Like, all three of our quarterbacks are dinged up. That's our responsibility. We're terrible in the run game. That's our responsibility. We're giving up sacks to teams that don't have sacks through four games. That's our responsibility. And so you can fold mentally, or you can, you know, respond and challenge each other. But, you know, as a player, when you're not playing well, you've got to ask yourself what your motivations are. You have to ask yourself what you're capable of. And again, you can either fold and quit and still have a uniform on and still, you know, play in a game, or just quit, or you can respond and hold yourself accountable first and everybody else. And so that's where they're at. I mean, you need to do something drastic Saturday, or it will be harder and harder and harder to remain motivated. Now, there'll be a couple dudes that are going to play no matter what it is because they love the game, but man, it's just hard once that snowball of negativity starts to stop it.
And I was, you know, because you hear fans say who listen to this program, they'll say, I'm just so discouraged because the coaching staff says the same thing. You know, we're going to fix it. We're going to get things turned around. We're getting ready to go on a winning streak. Then it doesn't happen. And some of the fans say, he lost me, or the coaches, they lost me. That's what I'm worried about, is that the players will get to a point where they won't listen anymore, in generally speaking.
Yeah, I mean, the only way you bridge the disconnect is to have positive results. I mean, that's the only answer that anybody can give. And so for those players, they can go out and give it their all and do what they're supposed to do and hold the guy next to them accountable. And, you know, when you do that, you will have some type of positivity. But, yeah, if you know, if there's accountability within each position, or each, like, individual position, there's a accountability with each position group. And then there's accountability on both sides of the ball. And so, you know, there comes a point when you may not be at a certain position, but you're on that side of the ball and you look at that other position and you're doing what you need to do, and you hold other guys to be able to what they need to do. I just still believe, even in a changing generation of players, that every team, deep down inside, people, the dudes that love football, they want to be pushed, they want to be coached, and they will be open to criticism and critique, because they care about the game, and that's what you hope is going on in that locker room, and hopefully we'll see it Saturday.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. See you later.
Luke Johnson, everybody. Longtime co-host of ours, close friend of ours, and a guy that we enjoy talking to every single week. Hey, don't forget about our podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle. We think you'll like it. We hope you do. And we really appreciate you logging in for the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. Let's take a look at the league standings when we come back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right. This segment of the program is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. Just a couple days, it'll be Catfish Friday. Every day's fun at 4th Street Bar and Grill. The big football game's always on the air. That's the IRS. I don't want to talk to them. For understandable reasons, right? It is the 15th of October coming up. Yes, they're calling to remind me that I still owe them a tax return. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show, and of course, you know all about them. Great memorabilia everywhere, good food, and good drinks and a lot of Southern Miss camaraderie, and always at 4th Street Bar and Grill.
Wednesday night's a good game of trivia, too. So if you like trivia, a lot of Mississippi and Hattiesburg trivia, too. It's not like your standard stuff. So if you like that, join Booty and everybody on Wednesday night for trivia.
Hey, Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street is a great place for a wonderful dessert. They'll cook it when you come in there and order it. They got all kinds of toppings and great coffees and what have you. And Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. And again, I want to repeat that because I learned of this morning. Kevin Mullins is the manager there, and he's a private pilot, and he and his daughter at their own expense. Understand that the Venture Baptist Church raised the food and what have you, and they loaded it up in Kevin's airplane and flew it up and down to Tennessee over the weekend. So, you know, God bless people like that.
You know, Mississippi, and you go through the, and I don't know how the government comes up with these stats, but Mississippi is always near the bottom, if not at the bottom, of per capita income, right? We don't make a lot of money. But we're always near the top at giving percentages of our income to charity. And to me, man, that speaks volumes. And when people say, boy, you could live a lot of different places, you know, why? And I said, Mississippi is the best kept secret in the country. Man, these are good, decent people here. That's and look, you all know that good, decent people are getting hard to find.
Boy, you're kidding there. All right, let's take a look at the standings in the league. Let's go to the East first. Kelly, I'm not real surprised. James Madison, even though they got beat this past weekend, 4-1, Coastal 4-1. I don't think that surprises anybody. We expected both of those squads to be good, right?
Well, the only thing that surprises me, and you remember we talked about this when we went down to Media Day in New Orleans, was that everybody just thought that Appalachian State was going to walk away with it, and why even play the games? Now, obviously, they've been presented with some problems that they could never anticipate. But before that, with all due respect, they were not having the season that they anticipated. Yeah. So would you think that James Madison and Coastal would be good? Yes, but you sure would not think that App State would be middle of the pack toward the bottom in the East.
Marshall's 3-2. They're 1-0 in the league. And we all thought Marshall was going to be a pretty good football team. Georgia Southern 3-2, 1-0 in the league. Georgia State 2-2. That's just my opinion of the school they need to look to replace. App State is 2-3, and Old Dominion. Now, Kelly, they got the player of the year, and we really, after you interviewed him, and the Old Dominion coach, we really, I think, expected more than 1-4 out of Old Dominion.
Yes and no. Their non-conference schedule, Bob, was absolutely brutal. The worst in the league. I mean, they were playing all the stud teams in the top 10. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they lost those, and they've been competitive in every game. So I would suspect now that we're in the Sun Belt and we've talked about iron sharpens iron, they've played some really good teams, and I think Old Dominion's going to start reaping the benefits of playing those good teams.
Louisiana leads the Western Division. The Raging Cajuns are 4-1, and I have to be honest. I mean, I'm not surprised they're good, but I'm surprised that they're as good as right now they appear to be.
I'm with you. I'm with you. When Vegas came out at the beginning of the season and had them as an 8.5 win team, I'm saying no, I don't think so, guys. But and not to make light of a tough situation, but I had Southern Miss at 6 wins. And I think that's going to be a real stretch to get to 6 at this point.
Well, here's the surprise team.
No doubt.
Now, I will say this. I mean, you know, they lost to Texas. Well, there's no
– Who hasn't?
Everybody loses to them these days.
And, you know, they may win the whole thing. The Longhorns may win the whole thing.
I don't know that Monroe's played the toughest of schedules within the league yet, but give them their due. They did beat James Madison, and that's a big shocking upset right there. So you got to give them their due. 4-1, 2-0 in the league with 80. Count them, Kelly. 80 new players.
Okay, I was thinking it was 76 or something, but still, first year coach as well. And as Luke mentioned, they're doing it with defense. You know, the offense is you know, maybe got a few sprinkles in it, but it's pretty vanilla. But their defense has just been tenacious, and that's why it scares me this matchup this weekend, because their defense has been really good. The Eagle offense has sputtered at best. It looks like you're playing right into their hands. And it's homecoming up there and a team that's on a roll. And they're not just confident now, Bob. They're playing with swagger you know, you can't underestimate when a team's playing with swagger and they start feeling themselves a little bit. It's going to be a tough road to hoe.
Kind of like 1:30 in the morning, you're walking in a bar full of beautiful women. You walk in with swagger. Is that correct?
Well, I don't. the only place I'm walking into at 1:30 in the morning is probably a hospital holding my chest because I would be well asleep by 1:30 right, in the morning.
Now, Arkansas State is 3-2 and Texas State is 3-2, but I'm going to say that's a positive 3-2 for Arkansas State and not so positive for the sexy team, Texas State.
Well, Arkansas State has won all the close games. That's the thing that Butch Jones has to hang his hat on. And this past weekend, I think I was the only one in our picks at the Southern Bancorp remote. I think I was the only one that took Arkansas State to beat South Al, and they did by 2 points. Arkansas State, ironically, is a team that's coming to Hattiesburg next week for homecoming on Southern Miss's campus. And at a 35% chance, that's what the Massey ratings thinks Southern Miss's chances are of beating Arkansas State. Only 35%. Now you're thinking, wow, that's not very good. What's really disappointing is that's the highest percentage that the Eagles have of the games remaining on their schedule, is a 35% chance next week against Arkansas State.
Well, that's the next two opponents, Monroe and Arkansas State. Texas State, we would agree, disappointing.
A little bit. But again, we're just kind of getting into this slate now for Sunbelt games. So the jury, as they say, is still out on Texas State.
South Alabama has taken a fall, even with Major Applewhite as the coach. The loss of their coach seems to be having certainly some effect. South Alabama, I think kind of a surprising 2-4.
The games they're winning with offense. And the old adage is offense will sell tickets, offense will win you a game or two, but it's going to be the defense that has you holding up the trophy. And their defense has just been really suspect. When they win, they outscore people, usually.
Right. All right. Now, I say this respectfully. Which of the two, from an overall perspective, would be a bigger disappointment, a 1-4 Southern Miss team or a 1-5 0-2 in the conference Troy team?
Oh, I think Troy.
I think so, too.
I think Troy, just based on the preseason expectations. Okay,
why were they so high for this Troy team?
I think they base it all on what they did last year. But John Sumrall, I think, who's the coach at Tulane now, who coached at Troy, and we've documented how he was raised in the Sumrall area here in Mississippi, and his grandparents, are still over there. I think people are finding out how good a coach John Sumrall really is, and I don't know how long he's going to be at Tulane before one of the really big guys come in and swoop him up. And you've got a first-year coach at Troy, big turnover there. But I say that's a bigger disappointment based on the preseason prognostications. You remember Las Vegas, when Las Vegas came out at the beginning of the year, the over-under for Southern Miss was either 3.5 or 4.5 wins, which we thought was low, all right? But Troy was a 6.5 win team, and they're not going to come close to that either. Now, the good news for both Troy and Southern Miss is they have to play each other. Now, it's going to be the last Saturday of the regular season, and it's going to be Thanksgiving weekend when most people are on the road or traveling or whatever. But the good news for both of those schools, Bob, one of them's going to win.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you would hope.
We think.
Yeah.
We think.
That's right.
Marshall has a two-game winning streak. Louisiana, two straight wins. Monroe, two straight wins. They're the hottest team, so to speak, in the league. And I hate to say this, but it's just a fact. The longest losing streak in the league, three straight losses, would be the Golden Eagles.
And if somehow they could pull this off Saturday, you are looking at a different season. I mean, because just one – and take – the Warhawks as an example. They probably didn't even think they could win, but then they've won a couple of games, and now look at them.
Right.
You know? So if the Eagles could just somehow scratch out one win, who's to say? I mean, I know the odds would still be against them, but who's to say? Confidence means so much in any sport that you're playing.
Well, you have to believe they have a chance to beat Monroe and then Arkansas State. And if they could do that, now suddenly they're 3-4.
That's in the league, Those are the wins that really count toward, you know, playing for a championship or whatnot. And again, we're stretching this. We understand that, but we remain forever hopeful that something might change and get the Eagles season turned around.
All right, Eagle Hour news and notes next. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back to the Eagle Hour. All right, look, we had a young man call us by the name of Patrick Carr. I think he's trying to call back now. I accidentally hung up on him. Patrick, if you're listening, you need to call me at 601-264-8910. 264-8910. That is the only line that I can get you on the air. He had a question, and I'll... We'll give him a minute and see if he can call us.
Is that the gate 9-1-0?
I'll tell you what, Kelly, you take him for just a minute. Take over.
Let me tell you what's going on around the league.
First of all, the Massey ratings are out today for the current week, and the Massey ratings, of course, take all the different computer rating systems and roll it all together. Right now, 134 teams, well, it's always been the case, 134 teams playing Division I football. Unfortunately, our Eagles are 127th. Out of 134, according to the Massey ratings, the only teams that are behind the Eagles. Interestingly, three of them are from Conference USA. Louisiana Tech is behind them, so is Ball State. Akron, UTEP, who's another Conference USA former teammate, so to speak. UMass, Kent State, and Kennesaw State, now also from Conference USA. So the Eagles 127 out of 134. The next soccer match for the Lady Eagle women will be Thursday. That's day after tomorrow, October 10th at 4 o'clock. They'll be at home taking on Marshall. And volleyball will travel this weekend to Louisiana for a Thursday-Friday series down in Cajun country. Very quickly looking at the standings in soccer, Texas State leads the Western Division. South Allis in second, followed by Louisiana, then comes ULM, Southern Miss, then rounding out the western side of the bracket, Arkansas State and Troy come in the last two spots. And in volleyball, Texas State and Arkansas State lead the way. Southern Miss third in the Western Division. The Lady Eagles have a 3-1 mark in volleyball. Troy and South Allis are 2-2. Louisiana 0-2, ULM 0-4. So again, the Lady Eagles in volleyball in third place, and in soccer they are in fifth place.
All right, Patrick, are you with us now, Patrick Carr?
Yeah, I am with us.
Okay. All right, now Patrick is on the show because he called. I didn't realize he was on the phone. I kept him on hold for like 40 minutes. I thought it was the IRS, Patrick. I was afraid too.
You know what's so funny about that? Why I'm waiting for you. I got somebody else on hold that I've been waiting on them for 56 minutes. And while I was waiting on you, somebody answered the phone. I thought it was your radio station, but it was the actual call for me.
Yeah, it's been a little weird.
So the bottom line is
a little weird.
So the bottom line is nobody's getting their cable TV put in today. That's
the problem.
That is the bottom line.
All right, Patrick, we got about 2.5 minutes. We don't normally do this, but Kelly told me that he knew you, and you had a question you wanted to ask Kelly. I think we have the answer that the coach gave us yesterday, but you fire away.
Yeah, I didn't hear the press conference Saturday night. I was watching the game along with seven other games and my phone, and I saw that he punted the ball with 4 minutes to go down two scores when the complexion of the game was you're not going to get the ball back. What in the world are you punting for? just go for it. And if you don't get it, you lose the game anyway.
And here's what he said, Pat. He believed in, quote, extending the game. All right, those are air quotes around extending the game.
Yeah.
And I'm paraphrasing, but what Coach thought was that if you punted the ball, they could muff the punt, you could create a turnover perhaps deep in their territory, you'd be a lot closer to scoring. But if you went for it on 4th and 12, I believe, and did not get the first down, then the game is definitely over.
My rebuttal is your season is almost over. You're 4th and 12. The complexion of the game was you're not going to get the ball back. If they've been dominating the ball for that length of time and you haven't been able to get them off the field, what in the world think that you're going to get the ball back again? And you got to get the ball back twice, not once, twice. If there was a one-score deficit, then I understand that strategy, punt the ball. Not when it was a two-score strategy and your game is going the way it is and your season going the way it is. Made no sense.
I think there's probably 4 or 5 people, Pat, that probably agree with you.
I think it's more than 4 or 5.
No, I'm being facetious, but I'm just telling you what Coach Hall said.
I mean, I was just like, I was in shock Saturday night when I watched that. I almost like fell out of my bed when he did that.
Well, Patrick, we appreciate you calling, my man. We appreciate you listening to the Eagle Hour. And look, we understand that Southern Miss has a passionate fan base, and that's a good thing, man. We're glad that guys like you are passionate about
it. Hey, next time you talk to him, tell him one thing. Tell him get rid of the tie. That might work. Anything right now, please get rid of that tie. Get rid of that style. Get rid of the tie, Coach.
All right, Patrick. All right, thank you. Patrick Carr. Patrick Carr.
Boy, he is passionate, isn't he? Maybe we ought to call him Passionate Carr.
Maybe it is the tie. I haven't thought about it.
Hey, like Pat just said, nothing else has been working.
Coach has worn a tie, though, since he came here, I think.
Yeah, out of respect for his father.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing wrong with that. All right, we'll be back on the air tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We'll have another good show lined up for you, and we're going to keep you informed and entertained. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.